I have a phrase that's going around sort of in my heart of mind. It's a, there's a phrase that says, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Have you ever, anyone ever heard that phrase? Hopefully you've never had to really use it, you know, just that phrase. Just trust that it's sort of a phrase you've learnt by watching movies or reading a book or something like that, not because someone's pointed at you and said, you're an idiot, you've brought a knife to a gunfight. So I've never been in a situation where that's been a reality, but I've, you know, heard that's a phrase. What does it mean? It means that, you know, don't bring the wrong level weapon to what you're going through. You know, a knife is can be pretty exciting, but when you compare it to a gun, it sort of pales. So you don't want to bring the wrong thing into a situation that requires something different. So I'm not actually talking about guns or knife fights or anything like that. It was just that concept, don't bring something in that's not appropriate. Don't bring this thing into this place because what you're bringing is not appropriate to this place. It doesn't work in this place. It's not effective in this place. And let's turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 24, I believe it is. No, it's earlier than that. Luke 22, Jesus is sharing communion, Passover meal, but he's now taking the communion cup, the cup of the Passover and the bread. He's now bringing a whole fresh and new revelation to what this all means. There's been types, there's been symbols, but now he is bringing it to a head that this is all pointing actually to something which is the covenant that he's going about bring in his blood. So it says in verse 17, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the vine of the fruit from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it. And he gave them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant that's in my blood. This cup is the new covenant. I remember a number of years ago now, when just the enormity of that statement just hit me, that he was saying there's a brand new covenant that's being established right now. We do not want to bring old covenant mindsets into a new covenant relationship. You know what I mean? There's a way of thinking which does not work in the new covenant. And the problem is that people can sometimes step into the new covenant, but they've still got their old covenant way of thinking. Now, that probably doesn't apply to us in one sense. We think, well, we're not Jewish. We haven't even been in a covenant. Some people don't even understand what a covenant is. You know, the whole concept is just a strange word. Let me just give you an illustration I've been thinking about quite a bit this week. Imagine that in Africa, there's a new country that's, you know, they've broken away from a different state and they've formed their own little country. Happens sometimes in African countries. I actually like to do a thing. Who's heard of Wordle? Anyone heard of Wordle? It's like a little computer game where you try and guess a word. Well, there's one called Worldle, Worldle. And you've got about 7 guesses to guess which country they show you a silhouette of. So they'll give you a shadow, you know, the shape of the country, and you get 7 guesses. So, and each time you guess, it tells you how far away the country you guessed is from. So I might say 17,000 kilometers, which means you've guessed badly. 3,000 kilometers, I'm getting, and which direction? To north, south, east, west. But, you know, my difficulty is that this app or this, you know, whoever designed this app, to me, makes up countries that I'm never, that this don't exist. Like, you know, they don't Spain, North America, you know, even, you know, Papua New Guinea. No, they're putting countries in that they do not exist. And I have to go to my map afterwards and say, oh, a little set of islands off the west coast of Africa with 400,000 people. I never even knew it existed until this game. So there's these little countries that pop up every now and again and get formed. And so you've got to imagine there's a country in Africa that gets formed and you sometimes don't even be aware of it. But imagine the queen hears about something in this country. In fact, there's someone in the country she wants to visit. If the queen wanted to visit that small country, what would she do first? You think, oh, well, she's got to book tickets. You know, she's got, you know, how the queen does. You know, she says, the kids, let's take a holiday. You know, anyone got this Tuesday free? You know, let's go online for the cheapest airfare. What's the weather like? You know that doesn't happen. What's the first thing the queen would do before she would be able to visit that country? She would have to have the United Kingdom open diplomatic relations with that country. She couldn't just go and visit that country. She can't just walk in and sort of talk, because for the queen to go into that country, before she takes one step in, that relationship needs to be defined. What does that country think of United Kingdom? Therefore, what will they do with her? You know, if she steps into that nation, are they going to throw her into prison? Are they going to capture her? Are they going to honor her? What's going to happen to the queen? What happens if that country is attacked while the queen is there? You know, all those sorts of things that probably for you, you don't even think about. But for someone like that, before the queen can make one step into that nation, they first of all have to understand what is the relationship, what is the agreement. And then those agreements are, there will be agreements that would be signed and documents would be written. An ambassador might be sent from the United Kingdom to go and live in that country. And so now they could have set up an embassy and their trade agreements and maybe even military agreements. How many know that in the you have something like that that's been very big in the news this week, that Finland has fast-tracked its application to join NATO. And Russia's furious. And that's because these agreements between countries have big implications about not just trade, but your protection and your, you know, rights and who you will fight for and who will fight for you. So now if Finland joins NATO, if Russia ever attacked Finland, all of the NATO countries would come to its defense, because that's how these agreements work. That's why Ukraine, who isn't part of NATO, everyone's sending weapons, but no one's doing the fighting, because they don't have the right agreements. Now, if the Queen needs those sorts of agreements in place before she can go and actually be there and fellowship, that's because that's how life actually works. A lot of these things are already in place. You know, when I travel overseas, I'm often not thinking about these things because they've been put in place. You know, wars have been fought, documents have been signed. I have a passport, I have a visa. It just means all sorts of things. And therefore, as an Australian overseas, something happens to me, I can appeal to an embassy, and they can actually get me out of. And hot spots, and they'll send a plane over just to get the Australians out and things like that because of the agreement. And because these things are in place, but I'm not even aware of it. That's similar, very similar to how covenants work. Covenants are formal agreements that define how you relate. They put a relationship, before the relationship is entered into, it defines it. Your responsibilities, my responsibilities. What's required of you, what's required of me. And then there will be a ceremony where that is formalized and put into place. And then from that moment on, the two are considered to be together in a covenant or in a pact or in an oath of agreement. And so what Jesus is saying when he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. All right, can you imagine if the Queen did travel from the United Kingdom and she went and landed and the agreement was that we're all in friendship and they put out the red carpet and she came down the steps and she's brought to the governor or the president or the prime minister of that little nation and she's... And the Prime Minister says, oh, by the way, I'm going to put in a brand new set of agreements while you're here. Can you imagine the Queen would be like, what's going to happen? All her aides would be like, whoa, 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 what have you done? What are you saying? And he said, I've got a brand new covenant between us. It's brand new. Everybody would be like, what are you going to say next? How are you going to define this relationship? And this is the moment that Jesus has said, I'm putting in place a covenant that has been in preparation since the foundation of the world. The covenant that Jesus put in place was not something he just sort of snapped and thought of. He said it's actually been in preparation. God's been looking for this. God's been planning for this. God's been desiring this. He's been speaking about it. He's been giving hints about it. He's been talking about it. And he said, it's come now. It's come now. This is the covenant. This is the moment that this covenant that I have walked in, that I have been desiring and looking for, it's coming to pass. And this should really impact us because understanding how that covenant works, the same as understanding the agreement the Queen has through the United Kingdom with that country, would enable her to walk freely in, or it would mean that she can't go in. It would mean either that she would visit freely or she would be thrown in jail if she arrived, if she gets a visa or she doesn't get a visa. And the thing about covenants is that ultimately it's not just about the big agreement, it's about a relationship that can happen because the agreement's in place. So the Queen can come into that country and sit down at a table and she can have a cup of tea with the Prime Minister of that country and they can chat and talk about corgis and, you know, the weather and, you know, whether they're going to have horse racing in this country. You know, they can chat about little things because the covenant has provided the framework which enables relationship to happen. When I looked at and understand covenant, sometimes I was getting caught up with the fact that covenant was about the big picture, about the big statements, about the protections and all the rest. But God said, before I could meet and fellowship with you, I had to put a covenant in place that would allow me, the King of all kings, the great holy God, to be able to come and have fellowship with you and sit with you and minister with you and share with you, but I couldn't do that without the right covenant in place. You think about in Book of Revelation, chapter 3, let me just read. To the church at Laodicea, God said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. God's desire was to be fellowshipping with them. Now, this is actually talking to a born-again church. So how's he on the outside? How is God on the outside of this relationship when they're a church? This is not a worldly place. This is a church. Because the church at Laodicea had brought an Old Testament understanding into their relationship with God. And instead of bringing in the new covenant understanding, a new covenant approach, they had turned it into an old covenant and kept God out. They had made the relationship so that God had put a new covenant in place, so it'd be like the Queen coming to this African nation. And what's her desire? Her desire is to meet with the Prime Minister and have fellowship with him and talk with him and share with him, and they won't let her land. They say, well, according to our old agreement, you know, we don't, you're not allowed to land in this airport. She said, no, we have a new covenant in place. But no British planes are allowed to land on our airfield. That's the old covenant, people. There's a new one that says, I am allowed. And the whole purpose is not so much about the big trade agreements and the and what will happen if there's a war. Even those things are covered. At the heart of it all is, with all that in place, God says, I can come and I can have fellowship with you. I can commune with you. The whole, God set it all up, and it's huge. It's taken thousands of years. It's actually taken, in order for God to put this in place, how difficult it is to establish a covenant between the living God and a people that are rebellious and have broken fellowship and broken faith with him. How can he fellowship with them? Their very sin says no. So God puts in a plan, and he puts things in place, and then he says, I'm going to send my own son, and he's going to become a man, so he'll become one of you, but he won't be unfaithful. He won't sin, and he will hold in righteousness, and yet then he will go to the cross, and he will have the curse of them put on them. See, curse is covenant talk. Whenever you hear blessing and curse, that's connected to covenant. All right, that's covenant talk. That's you know a covenant has been breached if there's a curse. And you know a covenant is working if there's a blessing. That's how you understand. That's covenant language. So whenever there's a curse, you know covenant broken. So when Adam and Eve decided, we will choose to eat from this fruit, we will call it good even though God has said not to, it says a curse came upon them because they had broken the covenant. How do we know there was a covenant? Well, one of the things is because God set them up in a garden. He gave them the rules and the regulations, and he had put all the things in place. And then it said he would come in the cool of the evening, and he would walk and fellowship with them. That was why he set it up. That's why he put it all in place, so he could come and fellowship with them. And the devil thought, if I could get this man, and through the foolishness of their pride, I open up sin, and that will break that covenant. And instead of there being a blessing, I will create a curse, and it will separate man from God. And the devil's like, because I have been separated, I am so jealous, I'm going to ruin this relationship that God has set up, and I'm going to destroy it. So God puts something in place and a plan, but he's always got his mind. He always got his eye on the fact that one day a covenant is going to be reestablished that's going to enable man and God to once again have fellowship. It's going to be a heart-to-heart thing. But it requires his own son coming and taking the curse, taking the punishment, so that there can come that freedom. And God puts all the covenant in place. God puts everything... So let me continue with this example, and even though it's got faults, how many know every time you do a parable, it doesn't, you know, don't take it too far. But let's say there's someone in this African nation, a little African boy called Humin, and that's the real reason the Queen has sought out this covenant and everything. Yeah, she's happy to have tea with the Prime Minister, but somehow, somewhere, she has become aware of this boy called Humin, and her heart has gone out, and she wants to connect with him and help him. But she can't go in until the covenant's in place. But now the covenant's in place, she can go in. So not just with the Prime Minister, but with this boy. And she has a great time, and she says, this is amazing. And she says, Humin, I got a surprise for you. I got something wonderful for you. You're in absolute poverty here. You're in absolute mess here. You're actually an orphan. Terrible things are here. I've actually arranged for you to become, I'm going to adopt you. And you're now going to become part of my family. And I'm going to connect with you and make this available. But, Umin, I've got to go back to England. And you've got to live here for a little while. You've got to stay here, but you've entered into a new level of relationship whilst you're here. And because of the covenant, you've got protection. And because of the covenant, you've got provision. Because of the covenant, everything you need is there. But I am going back to England. But then he says the most amazing thing, and this is where it's good, but it's not even as good as it really is. He says, this man here is my chief aide. Remember, Christine was sharing a couple months ago now, a message about packing. What do you put in the suitcase? Because she talked about the Queen has people whose job is to pack for her, prepare everything. She has aides that take care of all the details. He has someone that knows how everything's run. Well, imagine she gets her very chief aide who lived and knows everything about how the palace runs, understands everything about how the relationship. She goes, I'm going back, but I'm going to leave my chief aide here. And his job is to help you become British. Because you don't know anything about the resources that are available to you. You don't know anything about how palace life works. But his role is to make you fully British. And everything you require in order to do that. So she says, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving someone with you. And obviously, that person becomes the sign of the covenant more than any seal. As long as that person's with you, you know that covenant's been established. We obviously know that Jesus said, when I leave, I'm sending the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. Bible says the Holy Spirit is our down payment. He's a prepayment. It's a seal given to us. It says, when you got that seal, you know you belong to heaven. I heard an example once that if you bought a block of land, a piece of property, even though before you moved in and before you had got access to that field, there would be an agreement. And what they would do is they'd take a scoop of the soil and they would put it in a bag and they would give it to you with and sign an agreement and wax seals and all the rest to say, even though you're not in the land, you have some of the land with you. You have made a connection. And one day you will actually go and get the full land. You can't get it fully now, but you have a portion of it now. And it says, if you want to know what heaven's like, we've been given a taste of heaven already. That's why when we get in the presence of God and we get in the glory of God and we're ministering, we said it's a bit like heaven. Yes. It's not really as good as the fullness of heaven, but the Holy Spirit is breathing heaven into you right now. When you sense the peace of God and the love of God and the glory of God, that's the Holy Spirit bringing heaven to us now. But the Holy, and this is the part that I won't get into now, but my parable falls apart, my story falls apart, because it's still external. You've still got Humin, the little boy, and you've still got the aide, and he's a separate person. And that's like old covenant. The old covenant was external. You know, the Holy Spirit would come on them. The Holy Spirit would come on them. But in the new covenant, a new brand new way of working has come. And this is what God has always been looking for, is that the Holy Spirit would come in to them. And not only would they have all the legal rights, something would change their heart and a softening would happen in our hearts. Talks about a number of ways. It says that he circumcises our heart. It talks about the fact that he writes the law on our heart. It puts the, no longer will you need to say to a man, know God, because we will know God. Now it's an internal thing. It's just the most amazing part. It's probably the most amazing part of this new covenant. No other covenant up until that point came close to this, because God finally got to what he wanted, was putting the Spirit of his Son in us so that we could relate to him. And so that Humin could actually look the Queen in the eye and say, for him it would be Mummy. Hey, Mummy. And like all the people like protocol, what? That's going way too far. No, that's exactly what she was wanting. To bring the Spirit, the new covenant, into the new covenant is to, it's all about relationship at its core. It's about being close to God and acknowledging Him and loving Him. And let me just read this to finish. Galatians. Chapter 4. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, or Daddy, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Oh, that was the essence of the new covenant. That's what Jesus came. Not just so we'd have all the amazing resources of the covenant, but we would be able to have this amazing relationship in the covenant. That's my challenge for you, is never get caught just being amazed by all that God has done for us, and lose sight of the very essence of it, which is He wanted to, so we could actually stand in His presence, love on Him, receive His love, grow in His mercy, in His strength, become like Him. That's why the Holy Spirit comes into us, and it says the fruit of the Spirit. We actually start to act and live like Jesus. That's no other covenant had that power. That's the new covenant alone. So that's my challenge. Let me pray for you. But Father, I thank You. The heart of the new covenant, that yearning to have a sensitive heart, Lord, Your people. Father, I pray for anyone listening right now, anyone watching online, anyone sitting right here, in the name of Jesus. That Lord, there's a sense where You've, this whole concept of being close to God, You've just, oh, you just keep him a little bit arm's length. Maybe you've had a bad relationship with a natural father or parent, and it's caused you to just hold back. Or maybe your mind rebels at the thought of having that sort of intimacy with the living God. How could it be? How could God want that? How could God actually do that with me? I thank You, Father, that the barriers and walls would come down. And Lord, they would open their heart to the fellowship which is at the heart of this covenant. In Jesus' name.